ओम ज्ञान स्मरणदस्या ज्ञानांजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीजटापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथं विथांगतां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नानाशास्त्रविचारनायकनिपुणो सद्धर्मसंस्थापको लोकानां हितकारणो त्रिभुवने मन्यो शरण्याकरो राधाकृष्णपदारविन्दभजननान्देन मत्तलिको वन्दे रूपा सनातनो रघुरिगो श्रीजीवगोपालको आनन्दलीलामय विग्रहाय हिमावदिव्यच्छविसुन्दराय तस्मै महाप्रेमरसाप्रदाय चैतन्यचन्द्राय नमो नमस्ते। So today is the disappearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Srinivas Acharya has glorified them in that Sad Goswami Ashtakam, very favorite, the Srila Prabhupada sang it so many times in so many different ways. Some of the first words I ever heard from his lotus lips from San Francisco, 1971, just before Rath Yatra. I think he's talking to all these young boys and girls. I was 19, and others were my age or a little bit older. But he's saying, you know, Chaktva Turnamashesha Mandalapati Srinim Sadat Tuchavat Bhutva Dina Kaneshako Korunaya Kopina Kantasrito Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Abdilahari Kalola Magno Muhur Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Sri Jivako Palako. His faith in that just the pure vibration, the pure representation of Krishna consciousness will have the most auspicious and lasting influence upon the heart. It does not mean that we should discount rationality in our presentation, but still, as it's, you know, the finite moving towards the infinite. How much can the finite grasp? A drop of the infinite is infinite. So there are, you know, rational explanation, story, metaphor, different things are used to convey particular concepts. But still, what is all important is the spiritual substance within that concept. And there's a particular way in which this is represented, distributed, the way it's descended in this realm, revealed truth, divine revelation, Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound, the sound vibration. Guru Maharaj has pointed out that it's fine aspect here, subtle. So, but it's the in this context, the gross representation of that plane. So, from there to here, right? And that's another sequence and something to understand the gradations of subtlety of the spiritual existence. But nonetheless, Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound, the Vedas themselves, let me say Veda Stuti, the personified Vedas, they themselves are persons. Right? We hear in the Veda Stuti chapter, personified Vedas chapter, 87th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the longest chapter of all of them. And I would say not so easy to grasp what is there. It's extraordinary in every way imaginable. But one thing we hear from the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is that, and we've heard of the 108 Upanishads, Gurudev and one of his artis compared them to like shikha, the flame, on the ghee lamp, you have a flame, that's also shikha. And so he's saying, as Nikhila Shruti Moli Ratnamala Rupa Goswami saying, these 108 Upanishads, they're, or the Shrutis, they're illuminating what? That the holy name of Krishna is the supreme sound. It's the crown jewel of all spiritual sounds. And Guru Maharaj said, if they don't do that, they would be committing suicide. They themselves are personified sound. So they have to say that the supreme thing is sound, but they admit that the supreme sound amongst all sounds, the crest jewel of Shruti, is the holy name of Krishna. Right? So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur will say in that chapter where different Upanishads, they're expressing different aspects of Krishna conception. We know that later, when they, as we said the other day, Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo, that Lakshmi and Hara Panchami, Lakshmi Devi, Srup Damodar saying, Lakshmi Devi does not possess the adhikar to enter into these pastimes of Radha Krishna and Braja Gopis. Lakshmi Devi, right? The goddess of fortune. Right? She can't buy a ticket for the Rasa Leela. Right? Swoop Dhammar saying, doesn't possess the adhikar to enter there. And Gopal Bhatta, his father, uncle, Venkata Bhatta, Prabodhananda Saraswati, when Mahaprabhu was talking to Venkata Bhatta and said, why does your Lakshmi want to have rasa with my Krishna? And he's a Sri Vaishnava. They're the highest type of South Indian Brahmins. And that's significant to the position of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, why Sanatan Goswami and Jiva Goswami attribute Hari Bhakti Vilas to him, because their varnashramic rank may be called into question by certain sections of Brahmins, but Gopal Bhatta is whom they hold in the highest regard, his rank. Right? So he's came from that position. And therefore, when he gives his stamp upon something, they have to accept it. It's some technical matter, but still has its place. Still, so, and they're, Shastra Nipuno, Shastra Nipun means expert in the scripture. So Venkata Bhatta answers Mahaprabhu, well, taking Vishnu in the primary position, Krishna in the secondary position, saying, well, rasa is the specialty of Krishna. So if Lakshmi Devi is hankering for that, then naturally she will go to Krishna for that. That is not the hallmark of the pastimes of Vishnu, Lakshmi Narayan, Vaikuntha. That's his response. And Mahaprabhu was saying, yeah, that's a really good answer. But why then isn't she given entrance? If what you say is true, all right, but she's not given entrance there. Why is that? And we're told at that time, Venkata Bhatta realizes this is leaving the realm of human comprehension. Right? It's descending from another plane. And Mahaprabhu says, and add to that, that the Braja Gopis are not interested in pastimes with Narayan, as evidence in Rupa Goswami's look, where Krishna pushes out two more arms when he's hiding from them, and they run to the Kunja to find Krishna, and then they see four-armed Narayan, they're like, crushed. If we take Rupa Goswami's analysis, 60 of 64 qualities, how inconceivably beautiful is Lord Narayan? But whatever it is that is in the hearts of the Braja Gopis, what they feel is crushed, rago daya kunchati. They cannot conceal their disappointment. So not only is Lakshmi Devi not given entrance into these pastimes, but the Braja Gopis have no such parallel interest in the pastimes of Vishnu. At this point, Venkatabhai is totally bewildered. And Mahaprabhu says, the goddess of fortune cannot enter in those pastimes as the goddess of fortune, in her Aishwarya state of, you know, opulence to the extreme. And Veda Stuti, those Vedas, Dandakaranya Rishis, Yajna Sitas, they're all given entrance. So what's the difference? Gopi Bhav and Gopi Deho. Means the Gopi Bhav, the heart of a gopi, and Gopi Deho, and the form of a gopi. Only that form, jive swarupoi krishna, that form, muktirhipanyata rupam swarupeni vivastiti, as this body is the biological expression of the soul's delusion, the swarup is the form expression of the soul's devotion, devotional position, devotional heart. So Gopi Bhav and Gopi Deho required to enter there. She cannot enter as decked out as Lakshmi Devi and all of that Aishwarya opulence. He said, but don't think anything less of Lakshmi Devi. The gopis are also described as Lakshmis. Lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam. Govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. And what did it say? Srinivasa Chandra, Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari. That is the mood of these Goswamis, including Gopalbhatta Goswami. Anyway, so Vishwanath is saying, when those Upanishads, some of them are expressing to a certain degree the infinite Krishna, but a certain level, because they're even within Krishna conception, there's gradation. But he says that some of the Upanishads, they're very eager and anxious. They can't wait to express more. So they're like, you know, hurry up, you know. Enough of this, like, and you're divine, and only through your infinite, you know, all right, we had enough of that. Let's get more to the point about Krishna, the beauty, charm, sweetness, incomparable of Krishna. Asamanodva Rupa Sri, his incomparably beautiful, sweet form that incites the Bhav of the gopis. So those Vedas, they said, if we had known later, after they participated in Rasa Leela, they were thinking like, what have we done? We've misled the people. We told them, go in this, it's that direction. But if we knew how much sweetness was waiting for them, that we didn't clearly, precisely convey to them, we feel ashamed. That's the beauty of their heart and mood, but they want to take people in the direction of Krishna. Everything is meant for that. Announced in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhagavad Arkamriti Mala mentions that in addition to giving him the order to, from the 18,000 slokas of Bhagavatam, to extract approximately 1,000 and present them as a collection there, structured in a particular way, that Srup Damodar gave him this novel explanation of the first three slokas of the Bhagavatam along the lines of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan Tattva. But in the Prayojan Tattva sloka, it says, Nigama kalpaturor galitam palam shukamukadam ritardavas. After these two really big slokas, you know, janmad yasya yaton vayadi turatas cha arteshu abhigya svarat. Gurudev said, these slokas of Vedavyasa, he said, it's like the dancing of elephants. Like, it's astonishing and wonder-inducing, but you don't want to get too close. Whereas he said, when he gives Gopi Gita, you know, tava katam itam tapta jivanam kavibiriditam kalmasha apaham sravanam mangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinantite buridajana. Same Vedavyas, but he said, now it is like the dance of peacocks. It's very sweet and you want to come nearer. But janmad yasya yatonmad, these declaratory slokas in the beginning, they're, and necessarily slow, that's the foundation upon which the Bhagavatam is structured. So necessarily so. We're not finding fault with Vedavyas. I just mean to say, but in the third sloka, it's different. Janmadhyasya yatonmaya, the long meter, and dharma projita kaita votra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. But in the Prayojan Tattva sloka, nigama kalpataror galitam palam shukamukadam ritadravasam yatam pi bata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Very sweet and beautiful. And he's saying, all these scriptures, we say the Goswami, Shastra, they're expert. What does it mean? They can quote a lot of slokas, right? Like they know a lot. That is not being expert. We'll get to that later. But it means to be able to extract the actual substance. Bhaktivinoda says, Barabhyahi and Saragrahi. Barabhyahi means carrying all those scripts, those slokas of scripture on your back like an ass. Right? It's a burden. You're a beast of burden. Saragrahi means like the swan, the parma, who can extract the nectarine substance from all of that. And he has in his English poetry, O Saragrahi Vaishnav soul, thou art an angel fair. Like that. So, Nigama Kalpataror, the Vedas, they're like Kalpataru, the desire tree, the wish-fulfilling tree, right? Kalpavriksha. But what does that mean? We know, well, wait, because he'll say, like, all your desires. And he's saying, like, all of my desires? All of my desires are not good desires. You know? Maybe we should be a little more specific about that. What kind of desires are going to be fulfilled? Right? But actually, Veda's saying, you know, whatever you got, come with it. We've got a program for you. You're in the, no, I'm so deep in the mode of ignorance. We got a Purana for you. We've got a path for you. Whatever your position is. And that's a really wonderful and merciful outlook and way, but we can understand subsequently can also lead to confusion. And the people, well, it says here this, and then it says over here that, and then, yeah, because one place, this is directed towards somebody in tamaguna, the mode of ignorance, to bring them out of there. They're given this type of instruction. This person, predominated by rajaguna, given a different type of instruction. Someone in sattvaguna, another way. And endless varieties. So it can, on a superficial glance, appear to be contradictory or confusing. But actually, there's a structure there. And once we understand the structure and the hierarchy of the structure, then the confusion vanishes. So that means Shastra Nipun, we need those experts, those spiritual experts, to make sense of all of this. So much is there. So it's saying in this sloka, the Vedas are the Kalpataru. And I mean, the wishful, you got mundane desires, they've got a program for you, right? More spiritually oriented, a program for you. So that tree of Veda, like the mango tree, I remember seeing the mango tree outside my window at the Mat, and before there were mangoes on it. And I didn't even know it was a mango tree at first. You know, someone said, oh, there's a mango tree outside your window. Because I expect, you know, there to be mangoes hanging from the tree. That's a mango tree. You know. And then they're showing, you know, like there's some buds and the monkeys are coming, eating the buds before they can turn into mangoes. But so if you see the mango tree without the mangoes, you could think so many things. And also in terms of what its usefulness is. You say, well, you know, it gives shade. You could chop it down plane the wood, or, you know, and then like make some furniture or, you know, a house or something, or use it as firewood. There's different things you could do with that. Right? That would be a shame. To do that to a mango tree. It's similarly a shame to misread the Vedas and what their purpose is. Yeah, they'll fulfill everything imaginable, unimaginable. But what Veda Vyasa is telling me, he's saying this Bhagavatam, with this Krishna conception, and more specifically, the Madhura Rasa of Krishna conception, the culmination of Rasa from Shanta, the Dasya, the Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura Rasa, the sweet, this is that sweet nectarine juice. Right? What the asuras and the devas and the milk ocean, they're churning, and what will they say in Wikipedia? You know, the gods and the demons were searching for the nectar of immortality. Right? What is that? Like, I know what it is. They're saying, you know, people want to live forever. People don't want to die. I get it. Right? And that's true whether you're an atheist, agnostic, or what's the other one? Theist. Whatever you, nobody wants to die. Right? Once I was in this taxi preaching to someone in Washington, D.C., and he's like driving me, and he goes, yeah, dying doesn't bother me, you know, I'm not worried about it at all. And I was younger then and more foolish than I am now. But so from behind the seat, I grabbed him by the shoulders and started shaking him. And the guy pulled over and he goes, what are you, crazy? You almost got us killed. I said, I thought you said whether you die or not doesn't matter to you. You know, you weren't afraid of dying. Get out of my cab. You know. And don't try this at home. And just, you know, that was a long time ago. I was only around 24. But true nonetheless. So no one wants to die. But just living forever, For what? I don't know the names, but in the Greek mythology, if anyone knows, there's one person made a deal with the gods, to like a Hiranyakashipu kind of thing, to like live forever, and it was granted, but forgot to ask to be young. So he just got older and older and losing sensual capacity, which is the whole purpose. Like Oscar Wilde and Dorian Gray, right? Where he just spells it out right there, how about youth. And the person really, and it's for such a short time. And so his deal there is that because he's saying, you're never going to look as beautiful as you look in this picture, like the supermodels or people, or even beautiful women. They say, oh, they realize that they look good in this picture and they're never going to look that good again. Right? That was the line of the poets for seducing women. Carpe diem, seize the day, saying like, you're never going to look this good again. This opportunity is never going to be here, along those lines. So on that same thing, making that deal, you're never going to look this good ever again. So then, I wish that the portrait would grow old and I would continue looking like this. And that's another story that, and you know, that doesn't end well. As the picture becomes more and more hideous according to his sinful activities, and he somehow remains youthful, yet a tragic end in time. So this search for youthfulness, or eternal youthfulness, otherwise known as Navayovana. Right? So, but that's what Guru Maharaj revealed. That's not their, that superficially that may be their object, as that may be the object of like science on the one hand, like Google guys saying, if we can find a cure for death, forget about cancer, we're working on a cure for death. I'm not making this up. You can Google it. And on the other side, the religionists, they want to live forever too. And with God up there going like, how's it? Is the weather good? The temperature, everything good? All right, call me if you need something. Our Father, what? You know. So that kind of thing. But Guru Maharaj said, no, the object of their churning, the Kheer Sagar, and what is it to get? The Amrita, but what is it really? What they want is the ultimate nectarine substance. What is the Bhagavatam about? Becoming immortal? Right? Achieving immortality? We see that's for fools like Hiranyakashipu. Right? Another story that did not end well. Right? The Bhagavatam cannot be about that. Although Amrita, Mrityu means death, Amrita means deathless. Or that substance said, but what is it? He said, Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swaropena Vivasiti. In that world, that eternal world, to take your place, Swarup, Jive Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. So Guru Maharaj said, the Bhagavatam, if we understand it thematically, that it's consistently presenting one thing. Just like the Vedas may be misunderstood, the Bhagavatam may also be misunderstood to be recommending this, that, and the other thing. But really, there's a connecting thread, there's a current, a flow throughout, and it's announced in the Prayojan Tattva Sloka at the very beginning that this ultimate nectarine substance is Madhura Rasa. Nigama Kalpaturo Galitam Mukam. Galitampalam, shukum, the fruit. So the mango tree, what it's all about, don't get misled by the trunk, the branches, the leaves, the this, the that. What it is ultimately is to produce a mango. That's what a mango tree exists for. Right? Veda kalpavriksha, Vedanta, the floral essence of Vedas. But what is the fruit? Nigama kalpataror galitam palam shukamukaram rita davasamyatam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika pubibhavukaha. It's madhura rasa. And what is Srila Guru Maharaj saying in sloka? Yadamiya mahima sri bhagavatyam katayam pratipatam anubhutam apyala davideya tadakila rasamurti shamalila avalambam. Here, Shyamalila means Madhura Rasa, Avalama. Who is the whole Madhura Rasa dependent upon? Sri Radha Padasevana, no, Madhura Rasa Di, Sri Radha Padasevanamritam. The holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. How beautiful is that? Right? The book of Krishna is to lead us to the service of her holy lotus feet. You don't get any more quality and quantity of Krishna than from her. So, and these Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're all Gopal Bhatta, and they're all, and their Krishna Lila identity, they're all gopis. Right? Manjaris. And you think, if Mahaprabhu descended, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, why didn't he come in a female form? And those who are, why didn't they descend in female forms? Because it's so likely to be misunderstood, because that's the principal illusion of existence. This is it. You don't have to look far or think about, overthink it. It's about this. Eros, the erotic principle, that is the basis of material existence. This, you know, Bhakta Freud got it right. Right? It is the thing. Right? It's the driving principle of material existence. Show whatever his flaws may be on this, you know, he got it right. This is it. It's permeating everything. He would go so far as to say that even like the arts, for example, music, literature, and other type of art, all the result of repressed sexual desire. That's what's fueling all of this artistic expression and everything else. And we see here at this time, when it normally rains more, when all the animation comes out, all these different living beings, and they start making, what do you think they're talking about? It's primarily males trying to attract females. That's what all the cacophony is. That's what all the cacophony of the human civilization is, primarily. This principle, Eros, the erotic principle. It's driving, it's the driving principle of existence. And if we take it, as given in Bhagavad Gita, Urdhva, what is it? Mulam Adashakam, slogan saying, this world is a perverted reflection of the original. Then we can understand it must occupy it must be in the primary position in the spiritual existence. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur and his interpretation of the first line of the Bhagavatam, which reiterates what was given in Vedanta, janmadyasya yataha, janmadyasya yatana, Jan Adi, it's normally means Janma Adi, means like creation, etc. But he's Vishwanath, always extracting this divine substance. And some, he's saying, here it means Adi, that word Adi will not be interpreted here as meaning like etc., but rather the original. And what it's telling us is that Madhura Rasa is the original substance from which everything comes. It's the original. It's not merely that we would know anything. Oh, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, and it culminates in Madhura Rasa. That's not untrue. But what is more to the point in this context is that there is Madhura Rasa at the center. That means Radha and Krishna and their divine paraphernalia and associates. And from there, everything is coming. Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta. It is the original substance from which everything is coming. How sweet is that? Right. So, and that substance, Madhura Rasadi, Sri Radha Pada, Sevanamritam, Shyamalila Avalambam, it's all dependent upon one person. Right? In this sense, all of Krishna's happiness, right, means Srimati Radharani, the better half of the sweet absolute. So Gurmukh says, so although the Bhagavatam, although ostensibly her name is not mentioned there, right? Why? Different explanations are given. One being so confidential is the nature of what is being discussed that, you know, like, names are being withheld. Right? But Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, in his own explanation, his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Teek, says that, and this reveals something about Sukadeva Goswami, saying, if he vibrates the holy name of Srimati Radharani or the Braja Gopis, it will ignite such a fire of separation in his heart that he will become dysfunctional. He'll be unable to continue. How holy is her name? So, why we cannot countenance the casual as become fashion, a fashion to casually take her name for anything and everything. It's unfortunate. Sukadeva Goswami, he cannot vibrate that name. He will become, it will ignite a fire of separation in his heart so deep he'll be practically destroyed and dysfunctional. That's how holy the name of Srimati Radharani is. So Gurmukh is saying, although her name ostensibly is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Patipadam, every step, every along the way, is meant to take you to one place, the service of her holy lotus feet. That is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. Because why? Because there, the highest quality, the highest quantity of Krishna conception is revealed, distributed. Therefore, her name is Krishnamayi. So everyone can conclude when they read Veda, Gita, Purana, that they should approach Krishna. Right? If they're reading correctly, they know they want to go in the direction of Krishna conception. So Uddhava and the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the verse that was so much appreciated by Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He's saying, how merciful is Krishna and why your target should be Krishna? Aho bhaki am stana kalakutam jagansaya payaya dapyasadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kam va dayalum sharanam brajema. Kam va dayalum sharanam, it means who is the more worthy Lord to take shelter, more merciful Lord to take shelter of than Krishna. And what is the evidence he gives? Because he's making a case. Now we understand. This is his way of conveying to someone why they should take shelter of Krishna. And he says that, and gives Putana Rakshasi as the example. And we know Kangsa, he enlisted various witches and wizards to try and eliminate Krishna. So she approached him, being, you know, able to take on different forms. The witch, Putana, she took on the form of a beautiful, buxom girl with breasts full of milk, a milkmaid, nurse. And so Yashoda and Rohini are talking, and they see this beautiful girl, and she looks so sweet and innocent and motherly. And Yashoda indicates the nursery where Krishna is, that she can go in there and nurse baby Krishna with her blessings. And so Rohini Yashoda talking, and Putana, she goes, and she takes the baby Krishna, puts him on her lap, and pushes her breast into his mouth. And what do we know? Krishna, he starts suckling the milk, but there's poison anointed on her breast. He sucks the poison, the milk, and her prana, her life fairy, sucks out of her breast. And she's like trying to push him off and suffocating. And then she's no longer able to maintain that charming female form, and then she assumes her natural form. That's like, in kilometers, like 12 kilometers, 10, 12 kilometer size, ugly looking witch, and the baby Krishna's on top of this giant breast, cushioned, and the simple-hearted folks of Vrindavan, they're thinking, how fortunate we are. We must have performed some pious activities in our previous lives, because if she'd fallen forward, she would have crushed Krishna. But she fell backward, and then he landed on the breast. It was kind of like a trampoline or a cushion. And, you know, and as Gurudev would say, you know, simple-hearted devotees. They're jnana shunya bhaktas. Leave your mind at the door if you're going to try and enter into that plane. So this, if they were aware of Krishna's divinity, then they wouldn't be able to feel these kind of sentiments. So, and so what does Uddhava say? So, and what was the result of this event? He's saying that Dhatri, she was elevated to a, you know, like motherly position. That was the result. She got mukti beyond how it's generally conceived. He's saying, so if this is the way he treats his enemies, that's why he's giving this example. He's saying, here, she approached him with murderous intentions. She's trying to murder Krishna, and she gets liberated and promoted to the mother position. She's, oh, well, she came like mother, so I'm taking that and ignoring the rest. So then he's saying, so then what to speak, you know, we shall think of ourselves as despicable people, but Vishwanath is saying also in his interpretation that, so if that's what you get for murderous intentions, then think like this. Then if you were just neutral, it would be better than that, right? That would be higher than, and that means shanta. And then if it was like in a dasya mood, it would be better than that. And if it was in a friendship mood, sakya, it would be better than that. Matsalya, better than that. Back to madhura, inconceivable. So he's saying, if this is how he treats someone who comes with murderous intentions, then what to speak of better intentions? That's the case he made. He's saying, so who is a more worshipable Lord than Krishna? And we can think also of Rupa Goswami and the other, when they made their approach, they're telling Mahaprabhu how low they are, how fallen they are. And this is echoed in various prayers by so many different devotees, that that they're saying normally, what is it, matulyo nasti papa atma, aparadi, No, I forget. No, Kenshin, I forget. Anyway, saying that normally, if you approach someone higher, you know, you come with an offering like we try to do. We have the flowers, the fruits, something nice, and you try to present that. Right? Like here, if they made some mistake and something we're doing, the Thai people, they're so sweet, and they come, the heads of the company come with a basket of flowers and fruits, and everyone's whying and, you know, asking forgiveness. So, but in this one sloka, perhaps Rupa Goswami saying, or relaying that, saying, I want to approach you, my Lord, but what am I bringing you? Right. We told the other day, Guru Maharaj saying, how can you ask the divine lady Bhakti Devi to sit next to the two witches, Bhukti and Mukti, in the heart? So here the devotee is acknowledging and saying, my Lord, I'm approaching you and I'm not bringing you anything nice. And this I think we can relate to, because sometimes we hear things expressed there and we think like, oh, that's, they're, these devotees, they're so great, they're so wonderful, they're so high, we're so fallen. But here, if we look closely in these slokas, we'll find some resonance. We're saying, so I want to make my approach, but I don't have anything good to offer. My heart is polluted, it's impure. I'm the worst type of sinner. Right? But what gives me hope is that, as Gurudev, he once said, two things we know for certain, that we are fallen souls and that Krishna is merciful to fallen souls. That much we know. So here the devotee is also saying, yes, this is my condition, but I've heard, and not only heard, I believe that you are merciful to the fallen. And so perhaps I'm the best test subject for your mercy. At different places, devotees will say that. They will say, if you really want to test the potency of your mercy, then there's no better test case than myself, because I'm the most fallen person. So that means my claim should be first, because others are not as fallen as me. You know, so please take me first. And then people will be impressed, like, oh, such a fallen, sinful person you could save. So he's approaching like that, and in anticipation of Krishna's mercy. Right? And Krishna is known for this, as evidenced by what was given by Uddhava and his dealings with Putana. So you can say, factoring that in, this all makes sense. Krishna is the Lord of love. Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Satchit Anandam. Guru Maharaj like to say, you know, mercy is above justice. Right? So, and only in that way do we have hope. As in Shakespeare, in The Merchant of Venice, when Portia, on behalf of her beloved, she's disguised as a male lawyer to save her, I think, fiancé. And she appeals to Shylock by saying, you know, the quality of mercy is not strained, it drops like the gentle rain from heaven. And saying, the scepter that kings hold, that represents, you know, the rod of chastisement, the ability to punish, to enforce punishment. That's what the scepter stands for. That's why the king holds that. They have the power to punish. He said, and she says, but when a king decisions are influenced, is under the influence of mercy, at that point, a king is most like God. Only the higher can give mercy. Right? Has to be some, beyond justice, that men from a higher position can mercy be dispensed. So he's making this plea, and at one point says, and also, if not for mercy, what hope is there for any of us? Right? It sounds so much like Guru Maharaj, you could think Guru Maharaj wrote this part of Shakespeare. And he would say, don't go to the Department of Justice and find out what's waiting for you there. He said, but rather, approach the Department of Mercy, where the infinite is capable of compensating for all the deficiencies of the finite, of overlooking everything. Such is the power of devotion. Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa. A drop is capable of attracting Krishna. I think, so go to the Department of Mercy and your approach to Krishna. But, so then once we've established, yes, we should, we agree, let's approach Krishna, let's go to the Department of Mercy. But as we said, different levels of Krishna conception. Vasudev Sarvamiti, Bhagavad Gita. But Vasudev, the outskirts of Krishna conception, Krishna alone, higher than that, Vaikuntha, Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan, Bhagawan proper, because Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagawan. Bhagawan proper means with his potency. So that begins Lakshmi and Narayan. Paramatma does not have a consort. Lakshmi and Narayan, Sita Ram of Ayodhya, Rukmini, Dwarkanath, Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, Vrindavan, and as Saraswati Thakur would like to say, Vrindavan Hoyate Shrestha Govardhana Shaila, Gandharvika Giri Dhari Jata Krida Koila. Higher than Vrindavan, Govardhan, higher than that, Radha Kunda, like it's moving in a certain progression, always towards a particular plane and service plane, Radha Dasyam. So now we've come to the point. It's Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's written, Govinda Balabhe Radhe Prate Tamahang Sada. Saying Krishna's saying, oh, so you want me. You finally understood. You want a connection with me. That's very good. Not my department. If you want a substantial connection with me, Govinda Balabhe Radhe Prarthe Tamahang Sada, you must go to her. Why? Guru Maharaj says there, yes, that as Krishna is supreme, and you can say king of, you know, the land of love, and who is his queen? Who is the queen of the heart of Krishna? The mistress of the heart of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. As Guru Maharaj like to say, if you want, they're the same, if you want to get the king on your side, go to the queen. If you get the queen, automatically you get the king. Right. So no less than Krishna himself is saying, if you want a connection with me, don't approach me directly, you go to her. Right. She is the mistress of the heart of Krishna, the queen of the heart of Krishna, the better half of the sweet absolute. Right. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs that all the Vedas declare that Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. They own, control, copyright, trademark Krishna. Right? When Srila Gurudev would have to leave Navadvip sometimes to go to Calcutta, and this would be make Guru Maharaj feel some anxiety. As long as Srila Govinda Maharaj is there, Guru Maharaj is very happy and knows everything's going on. Like Lalita Sakhi is taking care of everything, so in that divine realm, no disturbance will be there. But they'd have to kind of like gently express this to Guru Maharaj to get him to agree that Srila Govinda Maharaj is going to go to Calcutta for a few days. And then he'd get in the car, go, and there's a way the car goes to go over the Gauranga Setu Bridge, and it takes around 20 minutes. By that time, Guru Maharaj would have already sent Haricharan Prabhu on the shortcut, and he'd be waiting on the bridge and tell Govinda Maharaj, you have to come back. So then he'd have to come back and talk to Guru Maharaj. And he once told me, once he said, when some devotees had disturbed Guru Maharaj, he told me, when we're going to have to like not allow anyone and everyone to have access to Guru Maharaj, he said, before I go to see Srila Guru Maharaj, he said, I see what is his mood. And if his particular mood, I don't discuss certain things, you know, like, he's just saying, you just don't go in there and blurt something out. You never know what's going to come back. So, but then he also said, like, there were Srila Govinda Maharaj, as I once said, well, now I'm quoting myself, saying, he, so charming, he could charm the hood off of a cobra. So he knows how to also put Guru Maharaj in a good mood by singing certain songs or certain. So one of them was from his childhood that Guru Maharaj liked to hear, and it began, Tungamani Mandire. And he would mention this at different times. And in his last visit to Navadvip, I asked him, as he mentioned, I said, Maharaj, what is that song saying, actually? And he said, oh, it is saying that the heart of Srimati Radharani is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem. And I was saying, no wonder Guru Maharaj liked that song so much. The heart of Radharani is like a lighthouse of Krishna Prem, illuminating the spiritual world, illuminating Krishna conception. Bargo bai Brishabhanu Jatma Bibabai Ka Radhana Sri Puram. And Guru Maharaj's Gayatri explanation. Bhargo. She's illuminating the whole spiritual world. She's illuminating Krishna conception and the service to Krishna. Right. So everything comes from her. Guru Maharaj said when he first came to Sri Gaudiya Math that he thought, you're being told, as is the Vedic tradition, you'll accept a guru and proceed under the guidance, care and guidance of the guru. And he said, I thought in my heart, one day my heart's inner hankering for direct connection with Krishna will be satisfied. And then he said, but in time, I came to understand that the Vaishnava is everything. Right? It's through the devotee that you get Krishna conception. Without the devotee, it's a fantasy, it's fiction. Right? And who is the supreme devotee? Srimati Radharani. Right? Nirmat Saranam Satam. Not only to not be envious of the devotee, but to sing their glories. Not only to not be envious of the supreme devotee, but to sing her glories. jadi gaur na hoite tabi ki hoite khamori doritam dehe radhar mahima prema rasa sima jagat janatak hai. Mahaprabhu, Krishna came down to this world to tell the world the greatness of the heart. What is in the heart of Srimati Radharani? What is that divine substance? Krishna consciousness. She's the ultimate personification of Krishna consciousness. So, say, Gopal Bhatta Goswami in his slogan is saying, so you have to go to her. That's where you get the maximum quantity and quality of Krishna. There, and what else? Radhe Vrindavanadi She Koranamrita Bahini. That she is like a spring, a fountain, a river flowing of this nectarine substance. What is it? Madhura Rasa. Right? But Koranamrita, Korun means in this sense, compassion, but magnanimity, meaning like she's distributing that divine substance. So, this is consistent with what Guru Maharaj said about Raghunath Das Goswami, the best student in the Rupa Nuga line. Why? Because in his Bilapakusamanjali, the sloka that Guru Maharaj said, although Saraswati Thakur would meticulously suppress any sort of emotions, not to, lest he mislead neophytes, when he would hear this verse, he would, in a select circle behind closed doors, cry uncontrollably, the same person. Ashavare amrita sindhu mayi katanchit kalo mayati gamita kila sampratam hi tom chet kripama yumidasa shinaiva kimme prane brajena chabaroru bakarinapi. That my life meaning and aspiration is the service of your holy lotus feet. They understand this is everything. Saying, without which my life is meaningless, without purpose. And not only that, what is more valuable than my life? Prane brajena, braja, right? Vrindavan, without you is of no value to me. This is the very significant point. Right? How critical. It's not that this is some sort of option to exercise or something peripheral. Saying, without you, Vrindavan is of no value to me. Right? And more than that, so more valuable than my life, more valuable than Vrindavan, because what's more valuable than my life, Vrindavan? What's more valuable than that? Krishna. As Guru said, Krishna, it's a shameless thing to say, but without you, Krishna is a dreadful thing. Bakari. What did we say before? Baka, baki, baho, baki, yam. Baki means putana. Bakari, demon killer. Not that sweet Krishna. The Swayam Bhagavan Krishna who's at your right hand. So without you, what is the value of Krishna Vrindavan or my life? That's why Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Tattva Charja. And it's consistent from the first sloka of the Bhagavatam to the end. That this is the divine substance for which we seek, where you find maximum Krishna conception. Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Radharani. And speaking of Uddhava, Krishna, no less than Krishna himself, when Guru Maharaj met a scholar in South India, he, like a Srutadhar, he knew all 18,000, there's maybe 16,000 extant slokas of the Bhagavatam. And said to Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj said to him, So, with your vast knowledge of Bhagavatam, who in your opinion are the highest devotees? And he said, Chatushan, the four Kumaras. What do you say? And Guru Maharaj said, they're in the lowest position. Then with two slokas, he made his point. First, from the mouth of Krishna. Right? What does Krishna say? Natata priyatama atma yonir na shankara. Na cha sankarsana na shri naivatma cha yata bhavan. He's speaking to Uddhava. No one is more dear to me than you, my dear Uddhava. Not Atmabhu Brahma, not Shankar Shiva, not Sankarshan, not Sri. You are most dear to me. So in one verse, he's established the primacy of the position of Uddhava. So then he says, then what say you, Uddhava? Asamaho charanarenu jishamahangsham brindavane kimapi gumalato sadinam yaddushtadam swajanam arjapatam chihitva bejur mukunda parivim shudibir vimrikyam. That my aspiration is to become a blade of grass, a creeper, to have an atomic presence in that divine soil of Vrindavan. Right? Radha Padmankitadam Vrindavan Jaranam, that is embellished by the holy lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. Because there, then maybe some of the dust from Radharani and the Brajagopis and their plane of divine service, some of the dust from their holy lotus feet will come upon my head, thereby consecrating my existence. So in two slokas, Guru Maharaj established the supremacy of the Brajagopis of Vrindavan and Srimati Radharani and Radha Dasyam. And this is clearly expressed by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami and these beautiful slokas of his as given by Srila Guru Maharaj and we published in Sri Guru and His Grace. Hare Krishna, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami Prabhu Tirubhav Mahamahuta Vatiti Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namo Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namo Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Echai gochai kori charana bandhan
Echai gochai kori charana bandhan
Jaha hoite vignanash abhishta puran Echai gochai jar mui taro das
Echai gochai jar
Tansabara padarenu mora panchagra Tandera charana sevi bhakta sane vas Janome janome more ei abilas E chai go chai jabe braje koilo bas.
E chai go chai jabe braje koilo bas.
Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari baja vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Kori Ash. Hari Nam Sankirtan Koe Narottamoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaur Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Shrila Bhakti Rakhak Shvidhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Shrila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Jiu Ki Jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Ramanji Ki Jai. Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Go Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghuvigo Shri Jiva Go Palako Ki Jai. Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhattaragana Shri Jiva Go Pal Bhatta Das Raghana Sadhguru Swami Prabhu Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Govina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadeep Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varenya Sri Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Sri Bhakti Vimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai, Seva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami Prabhu Thiru Bhav Mahamahotsava Titi Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande.